Yes, he is Bill Peters. You may remember him behind the bench with the Detroit Red Wings. Those of you that follow junior hockey, Memorial Cup champion with the Spokane Chiefs, and now, as Greg mentioned, he is the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. Bill, first of all, congratulations. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
It's our pleasure, and I promised Greg that I'd only ask you a couple of questions about junior hockey, so I'll push those to the end of the interview, and I may sneak in a question about George Brett as well. But at what point, former co-owner of the Spokane Chiefs, as everyone well knows, at what point, maybe it was last year, maybe it was the year before, did you say to yourself, I think I'm ready to be a head coach in the NHL?
Well, you know what? Probably after year two. I just finished year three in Detroit. So your first year is to get in the lay of the land in the National League. Year two, you got a lot more confidence and you're more comfortable. And then year three, it's, you're up and running and it's pretty smooth. So probably after year two, I felt I was ready.
What did you like about Carolina as a franchise, as a place to live that put it over the top for you?
No, you know what? It was the people in the front office. Probably my first interview was with Ron Francis and Mike Vellucci. You know, I thought it went real well both ways. Very comfortable, very easy conversation, very good quality hockey talk. And, that laid that groundwork. I'd known Mike Vellucci just from doing a little bit with his Plymouth Whaler team during the lockout. I ran a couple of their practices to prevent myself from going crazy, stir crazy, but just a real good conversation there and had a good feel. And then, as we continued down the path, it was just very comfortable. And then you look at the roster, and I think there's lots of good pieces there. I think it's a team that's ready to do some good things.
You know, the Red Wings are to coaching in a lot of ways what Finland has been to goaltending, a factory. Whether you look at Paul McLean or Todd McClellan and now yourself, what is it about Detroit, the Red Wings, maybe it's Mike Babcock, the entire staff, I don't know. What is it about the Red Wings situation that produces head coaches in the NHL?
Well, I think they do things right, and it starts with ownership. You know, Mr. Ilitch is very committed to doing things right and giving you all the resources needed and necessary in order to win. And then it goes to Kenny Holland, who's a real good man, a knowledgeable hockey man, and very supportive. Then it goes into the coaching room and trickles down into the dressing room where you have quality players that are everydayers who want to win. So it's a great environment as a coach. It's a real good spot to be, and it's a passionate fan base and a good hockey town.
You mentioned it in your presser and in your comments after getting hired about establishing a culture in everywhere you've coached. What would you like to see change as far as culture with the Carolina Hurricanes? What do you think you can instill there that's not there now?
Well, I don't know what needs to be changed because I don't know what's there currently, right? You have to be in there. You have to live it. You have to be with your guys every day to see how things are being done. I know how we're going to play, and I know what we want to do in order to be successful. I've talked to Rod Brindamore about it. He's right on board. We're real close to hiring a second assistant coach. Hopefully have that done at some point this week. And then we'll all sit down and we'll come up with a philosophy, to make sure it all meshes and we're unified. And then it's all about coming out of the gate strong. We play 8 times in October. We're on the road for 6 of them. We go out west. We have to be organized. We have to be ready to get off to a good start. I don't want to be sitting there looking up in the standings and be underneath the cut line right off the hop and have that type of pressure. I want to be a team that gets off to a good start and builds from there.
You know, some people obviously, and Drayson Bowman would come to mind right away. You already know some of the personnel with the Carolina Hurricanes. Who are you most, though, excited to coach on the Hurricanes roster?
Well, I'm most excited about the fact we're deep down the middle. We're very deep down the middle with both Stahls, Nash, Malhotra, if we get them re-signed. Lindholm was drafted as a center. We've got guys who can play down the middle. We've got some other ideas of if we need to get a fourth-line center. We're deep down the middle, which is important, and they're natural centers and very good. So Eric Staal is a guy who's not far removed from being an Olympian in 2010. He won a gold medal with Canada. We know Jordan Staal is a big, strong, 6'4", 220, hard-to-play-against type guy. Riley Nash is coming. He's just scratching the surface. So we got a lot of guys there, and then you start looking on the wings. You got Skinner, who's a former Rookie of the Year, scored 30 last year. Lindholm, the comparables to Lindholm are very good players. I believe he's 5th overall in the draft. Semin's a world-class talent. Gerbe's a hard guy to play against as an undersized guy because he competes so hard. So there's a lot of quality pieces up front that excite me. But then when you look at our one pair, and if we have to split them, we will, but you had Sequeira and Falk. Falk was a part of that U.S. Olympic team. Sequeira had a career year last year, and Lyles was a really good trade. He's a puck mover. He can get it going. And Murphy, who everybody knows in that Toronto area, is a guy that was a first-round pick. He's a power play specialist. He is going to be a key guy. We got to get our power play going, and he's going to play a key role in that. So I'm excited about all those guys. But then when you look further down the lineup, there's other guys that are good players, too. Boychuk led the American League in scoring. He's got to do it at the NHL level. And I'm not saying he has to score like that at the NHL level, but he's got to prove himself to be an everyday NHLer. Chris Terry at one time in his career was second in the OHL in scoring behind John Tavares. So we have talent. Mm-hmm. We just got to make it click and get it coordinated.
You know, I felt it interesting that one of the reoccurring themes in the presser was about how if the Hurricanes had gotten one more win a month, they probably would have been a playoff team. And I thought that was an interesting mantra to have. I imagine the conversations between you and Ron Francis were about, hey, this team isn't as far away as some might think from being a contender.
No, you're exactly right. So what you have to do in preparation for my first interview, I try to find out a little bit about their team. Obviously, you don't know their team as well as you do your own team. A unique situation with the Red Wings moving over to the Eastern Conference. So we did get to play Carolina three times this year. Otherwise, it's only, you know, maybe two, maybe only the one time. So you're not as familiar with them as you are with teams in the Western Conference. So I had to do a little bit of work there, obviously, to get familiar with what was going on. And then I think we found some things as we were digging around some of the statistics that if we can address a few areas, we're going to be not only a playoff team, but a team that can hopefully be in the hunt for home ice coming down the stretch.
So first head coaching position in the NHL, does that mean there is no summer vacation for Bill Peters?
No, there's going to be a summer. There has to be a summer. I've got young kids. I've got a 15-year-old daughter, and my son's 9. He's away at camp this week, and we've got a couple nice trips on the book that are based around the Michigan area that are at some pretty nice lakes, and I'd hate to miss out on those. But what it does mean is the spare time that you think you had to go maybe play golf or do any of that's all gone.
That's awesome. Was it sort of surreal to see your name be thrown into the hat as hot coaching candidate this summer? I mean, you were linked to a number of jobs. I don't know how many you actually interviewed for, but all of a sudden you go from being assistant coach Detroit Red Wings to all of a sudden becoming like mentioned within the same breath as the hot coaching candidates. Is that a real weird thing for you to deal with?
Yeah, it is a little bit weird for sure. You know, you think you have you go through the interview process and everyone says, well, how'd it go? And you really don't know. You know, you just have to go in there. You have to be yourself. You have to be comfortable. And the biggest thing, you know, Mike is a very prepared guy. He says, just make sure you're prepared and know what you're going to talk about and address these two or three or four key points and the way you go. And that's what I was able to do with all the interviews. And I think they went well.
All right, I got to ask you a couple things about the Chiefs. A couple of things from that tournament. This is the Memorial Cup tournament in 2008 in Kitchener, won by the Spokane Chiefs. Didn't lose a game. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill. You guys went through the entire tournament undefeated. And as a lot of people look back on it, there was almost this surreal moment, and I don't think the players knew what to do. Curious what went through the coach's head. When Chris Brunton, who was your captain, passed the trophy over to Trevor Glass, and it broke, and it lay there on the ice in Kitchener. The two kids looked at each other like, what do we do now? What did the coach say? What did the coach think?
Well, I couldn't believe it, obviously, and it was unfortunate that that happened, but it did. You know, what do you do? It obviously wasn't intentional, and you just move on. Like, I don't think it changed the celebration any that night or the next 7 to 10 days, and it didn't take anything away from the accomplishment, and it was a fun group to coach. Boy, I'll be lucky if I ever coach a team as competitive as that group of young guys was. It was, at the time we were a real young team and nobody knew of most of our players. But now when you look back, Tokarski was our goaltender. Tyler Johnson just signed a second contract with Tampa, is in the hunt for Rookie of the Year. Who else did we have on the back end?
Jared,
we
had Cowan Jared, go Jared on Cowan and Justin Falk.
In Ottawa, we had Falk, who's, you know, bounced a little bit here, but is going to become a full-time NHLer. Jared Spurgeon, who everybody loves as an underdog, 5'9", 175-pound D-man, playing in the top four in the NHL. So we had guys. They were just young and unheralded, but the thing I'll remember about that group is how competitive it was and how hard they worked.
Yeah, Mitch Wall was a good player too. There was a nice one. Hey, one more follow up about Spokane.
Really good talent,
yeah,
no question.
Sure was almost a 100-point guy. Hey, one final thing about the Chiefs, and I remember after you guys won the Memorial Cup. I was doing Hockey Night in Canada radio for CBC at that point, and I think 2 days afterwards, we got one of your owners on the phone to talk about the Chiefs. And that was George Brett, of course, one of the greatest baseball players to ever play the game. What was your relationship, I don't know if you even had one, with George Brett like, and you still keep in touch with him?
Well, you know what? It's a great ownership group with George and Bobby and Ken and all the Bretts and great management group there and a lot of continuity, which has allowed them to be successful. George was up. I don't know if you guys bumped into him in Kitchener that week, but he was up there that week, and we'd done enough to have the buy into the final, and we were sitting there going out for supper one night, and he goes, you know what? I got to go back. I got a couple of things I got to look after, but I'm coming back Sunday for the final game. And then one of his phone rings, and it was his wife, and they actually had a family vacation plan. So at supper that night, he goes, you know what, Coach, I don't want you to think, yeah, I lied to you, but I can't make it for supper. I guess we're going to the Bahamas, I think it was, so I totally forgot about that, but I'll be thinking of you guys. So just a great guy. You know, George isn't around as much as Bobby, obviously. Bobby's more hands-on with the team, but George is in Spokane, in and out of there probably 3 or 4 times a year, and just an easy guy to talk to and be with.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great on the radio, too. Real personable guy.
Oh, yeah, he is for sure. Down to earth.
Piece of work. Hey, one last thing for me, Bill, and thanks for joining us on the show today. You mentioned stats before. Here comes the question that needs to be asked anytime someone gets hired in 2014. What is your relationship with advanced stats and analytics here in the National Hockey League, your Corsi and your Fenwick and all that stuff?
Yeah, you know what? I believe in it. I am not a hardcore disciple, but I want the information. I want information. I don't want misinformation. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to pass the eyeball test. So you can sit there and look at the piece of paper all you want, but I want to be out on the ice with the athlete. I want to see how he competes. I want to see what he does under pressure. I need to see how he is under, you know, 50-50 puck situations and battle spots. So, you know, that's what those things don't give you. Like I said in one of my interviews, like, you can have all the stats you want, the Fenwick and the Corsi and everything else, but if I'm running the penalty kill in Detroit and we're down and there's 30 seconds left in the game, I know Pavel Datsyuk's out there, and if Henrik Zetterberg's healthy, he's out there too. I don't care what the Fenwick and the Corsi say. Those guys are gamers. They've been there. They've done that. They know how to win. So I think it's good. I think he can get carried away with it a little bit at times, but I think it helps.
You know, and final one for me, and sticking with Datsyuk and Zetterberg, from a coaching point of view, when your best offensive players are also your best defensive players, Bill, it's kind of tough to lose a line matchup, isn't it?
Well, you're very comfortable going on the road. I know that. And then you look in our organization, Ron Francis won, if not multiple. I know he won at least one Selke. I know Rod Brindamore won 2. And that's going to be the thing. We're gonna play an up-tempo style of play in Carolina. We want to have the puck. We want to be puck possession. But we also want to be very structured and sound defensively, because if you're not, you're going to spend too much time in your own zone and in your D zone and eventually just get wore out. So our guys are going to be 200-footers, and it's going to be up to us as coaches to make them be everydayers.
There you go.
Sounds
all right,
fantastic.
Bill Peters,
good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.